You're listening to Talking Baseball with Ed Randall, presented by MLB.com. He's Ed Randall. He's talking baseball. What more do you need?
Hi, everybody. I'm Ed Randall, Big Ed and Nora's baby boy, and welcome back to Ed Randall's Talking Baseball. Meet baseball's most noted infield coach. We welcome to the show Perry Hill of the Miami Marlins. You have a resume unlike any other coach in baseball.
Well, I don't know about that, Ed. There's a lot of great coaches around. I just happen to be one of them, and happy to be here in Miami.
But you also are noted for your work in the infield. Everybody in baseball knows that what you do is pretty unique.
Well, I think everybody, all of us, I guess there's 30 infield instructors in the game, and you know, we all have our ideas and our convictions, and what I teach I firmly believe in, and I've been lucky enough through the years to have some really good players to make it look good.
Talk about those convictions.
Well, I'm really big on positioning. Footwork is key to me, and preparing to throw the ball properly. I call it funneling. You know, I like to get the ball to the middle of my body every time, and I think that's the perfect throwing position. And you know, some other people take the ball away from their body and some push out at the ball. I just have a conviction for me. It works for me. It works for us to bring the ball to the middle of our body, and that's one thing I really stress.
Did you see the advent of shifting coming before it was implemented in Major League Baseball to the extent that it has been?
Not to the extent it is now. I have, in some extreme cases, yes. You know, the big power hitters, you know, they're either going to hit it over your head or swing and miss a lot. And so I can see the shifting on those kind of guys. But some of the other guys I don't quite understand. I'm not really on board with extreme shifting. I'm still a dinosaur in that I believe that the pitcher dictates the defense. I don't think you throw the defense out there without consulting what the pitcher's plan is.
Mm-hmm. Whereas sometimes teams will do extreme shifting regardless of who the pitcher is and what his tendencies are.
Yes. And once again, that's their conviction. And that's good for them. You know, that's what they believe in. And everybody has their own thing.
But you think if there's a ground ball pitcher pitching for the Miami Marlins, it's going to be a different night for your infielders than a fly ball pitcher.
Correct. Or, you know, how he pitches a certain hitter. We don't maybe pitch the hitter the same way somebody else would. And so our defense is not just because they played it that way, we're going to play ours that way. It dictates on our pitchers and how we start a hitter and how we're going to finish a hitter.
How has your job changed through the years?
Well, I think the athletes have gotten a lot better, bigger, stronger, quicker. They can do a lot more things. I mean, this seems to be the age of the shortstop. You look at every team, and they really have a superstar shortstops. And you know, we're blessed here. We have a Danny Hechevarria. We have a great second baseman in Dee Gordon. Martin Prado is as steady and as calming influence as you want on the field and off. And so we're blessed here. We have some good players.
What's your favorite position to teach?
I like all of them. I think a lot of times first base is ignored. You know, you run over there and put your foot on the white thing, but there's a lot of space.
I can remember as a kid, Baseball Digest, which was a big deal once upon a time, and there was a cover story. It said not anybody can play first base. I think sometimes there's still that mentality that, well, a guy's deficient, let's hide him at first base.
Right, or he can hit, let's put him at first base. That's not necessarily the case. You know, it's really built for a left-handed thrower because everything's going towards second base where most of your throws are going. So when you get a right-handed first baseman, there's a lot more nuances and a lot more angles and things you have to teach because actually your glove is away from your target. So it's a lot more teaching involved to a right-handed first baseman, and I enjoy that.
A lot of what you teach is about anticipation.
Yes. Knowing the pitching plan, once again. You know, how we're going to start a hitter, how we're going to finish a hitter. Trying to be anticipating that spot and being ready to catch the ball. I remember I heard Cal Ripken say a long time ago, range is positioning.
And also, it's about anticipating what you're going to do with the ball when it's hit to you.
Right.
Because sometimes I see guys at the major league level and I'm stunned. He didn't know what to do with the ball.
Right. And that's something you learn a long time ago. And you're right. Sometimes it just slips players' minds from time to time. But you should always got to plan that out. What am I going to do in this situation? If it's hit to me, where am I going? How do I set my feet to make that throw? There's a lot of things that go into it.
What makes a great infielder?
The way you want the ball hit to you every time, I think. You want the ball. You want every pitch to be hit. Every pitch that's delivered, you want the ball to be hit to you. If you don't want the ball, I don't think you're going to be a very successful infielder.
Who have been among your best students through the years, your favorites?
Oh, geez, I have too many, Ed. I can't name them all. If I start naming, I'll leave out somebody, and I certainly don't want to do that. But, you know, we've won a few gold gloves, and, of course, those guys are special. And but I've been blessed. I can't remember one player that we've ever had that, you know, didn't want to work, and that's the key. You know, they've all wanted to work. I've been blessed in that area. That most everybody that I've come across has tremendous work ethic.
Is a gold glove an affirmation of your work?
Not my work, their work. You know, I've yet to field a ball or throw a ball. It's them buying into the system and having a team concept, and that rubs off, and individual honors come after that.
They've been catching ground balls their entire lives, your infielders. Is it sometimes tough for them to grasp the idea that they're still going to be learning at the major league level?
Well, I think you can always improve. You know, sometimes it's just a little tweak here, a little tweak there. I know D. Gordon, is that when he came here, I thought his feet were too narrow. I thought he needed to spread out more where he could get a better look at the ground ball. Mm-hmm. And, of course, he listened and he bought into it, and he's had some success doing that. So I think you don't tweak a guy just for the sake of tweaking him. But I think if you see something that needs to be addressed, although at the big league level or not, you need to address it.
Favorite infielders on other teams? I know you think they're all your children, so you don't want to talk about any favorites on the Marlins. Who have you admired through the years?
Well, I remember growing up, I loved Mark Belanger. I loved to watch Mark Belanger, Bobby Gritch. I like to watch those guys. Maury Wills. There's just a lot of them through the years that I watched. And I've been lucky to have some really good ones since I've been at the major league level. And I marvel at some of the things these guys can do. It's just amazing the way some of these guys can do the things they do.
The athleticism is extraordinary.
It's just some of these things are unbelievable. I mean, watching Omar Vizquel for all those years and Roberto Alomar, some of the things those guys do just makes my jaw drop.
When you mentioned Mark Belanger from back in the day, when shortstops batted eighth, you carried their bat. All you wanted them to do was pick up the ball. Belanger was exhibit A when it came to something like that. And then along came Ripken, and along came Alex Rodriguez, and along came Jeter, and the position, and Omar. The position changed.
Yes, it did. Yes, it did. Not only were they great infielders, but they were great hitters. And they were hitting third and fourth in your lineup. And I think that it's turned over now. There's a group of shortstops now that can hit, they can run, they can throw. There's about 15, 20 of them in the big leagues right now. They're just superstars, or superstars waiting to happen. And it's amazing. The athletes nowadays are just amazing.
Are there occasions when, because the game has become so offense-minded, that you have to tell your pupils, you got to leave that at home plate, we still have defense to play, and defense is so important?
Well, especially with the younger players, sometimes they have a tendency to take bad at-bats out to the field. But you know, you got to tell them, especially in our league, in the National League, that doesn't work. You know, you have to play all phases of the game. And if you don't, it's going to really show up. And so you've got to be able to separate offense and defense.
When we were with Perry Hill, the infield coach with the Miami Marlins on Ed Randall's Talking Baseball, when Ozzie Smith went into the Hall of Fame, that struck a winning chord for defense. That introduced defense and the importance of defense into baseball's holy of holies, the Baseball Hall of Fame.
Right. And I'm not that smart enough to decipher all this sabermetric stuff that's going on now, but those kind of things have really emphasized defense, too, and how important it is, and how if you can keep the other team from scoring, you always have a chance to win. And that's what I tell our guys all the time. If we can prevent them from scoring, we always have a chance. And we wear T-shirts that say on the back, 27 outs, no more. In other words, make the plays we're supposed to make. Don't give the extra team outs, and we have a chance to win.
Your life has been about where you position your hands, where you position your feet, how you use your body. And now the introduction of sabermetrics and defensive sabermetrics. How has that influenced your work?
Well, I guess everybody has a analysis team in their offices now, and I use it as a cross-reference. I still keep my own charts. I still watch the game after the game on a recorder in, at the hotel, or if we're on the road, or at my home after the game in Miami, and I still plot my own lines, where the balls hit, what the count was, who the pitcher was, and then I use what they give me and cross-reference it. And if it all pieces together, then I, you know, I'm pretty well on it. If it's really diverse, there's one extreme to the other, then I got to figure out, you know, what I want to do. But most of the time, it matches up. But I'm the old dinosaur. I like to keep my own charts, because if I write it down and draw the lines and circle the things myself, I'll remember.
Guys who may be going through a tough time will come to the ball yard early. They'll take extra batting practice. Does that exist in your world with regard to defense?
Every day. We have six infielders, the four regulars, and we have two utility guys. And so on a typical 10-day homestand, everybody comes out twice, every homestand early. Mm-hmm. And we work on things. A lot of things you can't do in batting practice, like slow rollers or fielding a bunt or catching pop-ups. So we try to do those things, because you can't do those in batting practice. Batting practice, you take your regular ground balls and make your throws, but you can't charge a ball during batting practice. You can't catch a pop-up in batting practice, you know, for fear of getting hit by the batted ball. So we do those kind of things early to keep ourselves sharp.
What's the toughest play for an infielder?
Oh, geez. I don't know. There's several. Probably the ball that's a little pop-up that's going back over your head and you can't get to it, and you know that outfielder's coming in, you're going out. That's always a play I hold my breath on, too, when it happens.
Take us through a typical day from when you come to the ballpark. What does Perry Hill do?
Well, I usually get it to ballpark anywhere from 12:30 to 1 o'clock. I'll get dressed. I'll look at my charts from the night before. I'll go to the video room and watch the last time we played this team against our pitcher that's pitching that night, what they did against him last time, watch which kind of swings they took, watch how our pitcher pitched him, how he started him, how he finished him, just to review it in my head. By that time, it's close to 3 o'clock is when I take an infielder out early, spend about 15, 20 minutes with them by themselves on the field early. Then I'll come in and grab a sandwich or something, and by that time it's time to stretch for the regular batting practice.
Right.
Batting practice, and then
what do you do during batting practice?
Well, that's when we hit the routine ground balls.
Right.
And we hit them all the infielders. They make their flips to second base or their throws across to first, and I do most of all that.
Right, of course. And then the cage comes down, and then once the game begins, what happens?
Well, then we talk about how we're going to defend certain hitters in certain counts, and hopefully they remember. If they don't, that's what I'm there for. I can just kind of raise my hand and get them where they need to be, in our opinion, where they should be. Mm-hmm. So I kind of monitor the defense during the game.
And that's constant. There, you can't miss a pitch. You can't drift.
No, you can't. You can't. And, it's hard to remember every situation and everything, and I'm just there as a security blanket. You know, we go over it, thoroughly before the game starts, and like guys in our division, we play our division 19 times. So, you know, we're pretty good about remembering our division. Sometimes when we play out of our division, we need to go over some things, and sometimes might break down during the game, but, you know, it's just a wave of the hand and here and there and move here, move there, and we'll just try to get it corrected that way.
One of the other aspects in which the game has improved so much, beside the athleticism of the players, has been the field conditions and the fact that the fields around the major leagues have never been better.
Oh, no, they're pristine. You know, the grass is like carpet. The dirt's immaculate, soft. There's no bounces. You're right. We don't play in very many bad ballparks anymore.
No. What is the best part of your job?
I think the interaction with the players and the coaches. I really enjoy that, the camaraderie, the togetherness that we have. How do you say that word? What is that what I'm trying to say?
Camaraderie.
Camaraderie, yeah, that's what I'm trying to say. I just like the banter in the clubhouse, you know. And when you're winning, there's no better feeling.
You're so highly regarded. To be kind, the Marlins have not been a study in a study in being steady. There's been a lot of changes through the years. Continuity has been missing here, and yet, you, from administration to administration, there's Perry Hill, number 7, which is a tribute to you.
Well, I've always said I'd rather be lucky than good. And so I've been tricking him. I hope I can trick him a few more years.
But what do you think has been the secret to your success, that you have been able to stay with the ball club in uniform, be a valued presence to this franchise, even though they have changed a lot of managers and general managers? And let's face it, there's been a lot of upheaval.
There's been some change. But I really don't know. You know, I just been lucky, and
you got to be good, Perry.
Well, I just try to do my job the best I can every day, and then whatever happens, happens.
And now you go into 2016. What are you most excited about?
Well, I like our club, number one. I like the 8 players we throw out there every day. I think we're just as good as anybody else if we stay healthy. I like our chances, and I'm excited about the Miami Marlins 2016 version.
Everybody talks about the Mets, the defending National League champions, the Washington Nationals, huge disappointment, but should be quite good. And you guys could sneak up on people in 2016.
Well, like I said earlier, the guys we throw out there every day, I like just as much as any other club. I think our key is we have to stay healthy. If we stay healthy, I think we can play.
You especially like the infielders.
Yes, I do.
A lot.
I like my guys. I'm very happy with the 6 guys we're going to throw out there.
Perry, the best of luck to you and the Miami Marlins in 2016 and for many years to come. Thanks for being with me.
Thanks, Ed.
So that'll do it for us on MLB.com. If you're listening on the move, thanks for the ride, and thanks for listening to Ed Randall's Talking Baseball.